Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, May 1st, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my binary brother, John Abaya.
Hello.
Okay. And also joining us, you could listen to him in our past episodes, and apparently my family just adopted him recently, Mr. Seer Abaya.
Yeah, I'm back again, guys. You can't kick me out this time.
Nope.
wait, is that what happened last time? I don't know.
It's like I've been shunned from the family or something.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're like the black sheep, the Chris Farley of a family.
There you go, as long as it's not a racist thing.
And then Ben is David Spade, and I'm who else is in black sheep? I think
no, why did you go black sheep? Isn't there like what was their other
Tommy Boy?
No. Tommy Boy is even better, I think. Which is like, I don't know.
It's still Black Sheep, like, but sequel. Just yeah. A different name of the movie.
Yeah. if you're new to the podcast, we discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week. And we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is the season 4 premiere of HBO's Silicon Valley. So looking forward to that. But before all that, guys, we do have a trailer talk. I'm quite excited for this because it's a video game and it premiered this past week. This week's trailer talk is Call of Duty World War II.
This day have set upon a mighty endeavor. Souls will be shaken with the violences of war. In this hour of great sacrifice, we shall prevail.
We are all that separates the world from darkness. The enemy is ruthless.
So that is a clip from Call of Duty World War II. It's developed by Sledgehammer Games, published by Activision. It is, I believe, the 14th game in the Call of Duty series. Yes.
So this is not just the second game. It is called 2, right? World War II?
Yes. Okay. I don't remember if World War I even came out on the Call of Duty series.
I don't think they want to have a video game where you have to reload muskets.
Oh, that's true.
Wait, is that World War
I? Wouldn't mind.
No, that's the Civil War.
No, that's Civil War.
Or Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
I think World War II, they still have the thing. That's Battlefront or Battlefield, the newest one. Battlefield 1 or whatever you call that thing.
Yeah. They didn't have like muskets though, but I know they still had to reload it in a manual way. I don't know. I know automatics were introduced in before World War I, but it wasn't like sufficient among like
It was introduced during the Wild Wild West. I learned
that.
Oh,
yeah,
that
is true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when they were fighting a giant spider, they had to reload faster.
With the Call of Duty series, I think Sledgehammer has created, I think, two of the games in the series, Modern Warfare 3 and Advanced Warfare. Seer, I know you're a avid, I guess, first-person shooter gamer. Are you not? I'm not sure now.
Yeah, I still enjoy first-person shooters. Not so much right now anymore, because when I do play those games, I usually play the multiplayer. But now, as we're all getting old, I feel my reflex can't hang with the young kids these days, so I'm falling off a little bit and getting more into like single player first person stuff. But yeah, I still a fan of them.
So what's your thoughts about this Call of Duty World War II trailer?
It feels like a step backwards, and it feels like they're copying a lot of what Battlefield's doing right now. But it seems like a lot of people are excited about it, but I don't see the reason why. We've played all these old World War II shooters already. Back in the, say, early 2000s or something, the market was filled with World War II shooters, and they had to make a step forward to change the genre a little bit to move forward to the future, and that's what made the genre even more exciting again. So seeing that they're going back to the past now, I see it as a step backwards. And like the guns and stuff, you're so used to futuristic weaponry. Now they're going back to like what, M1 Grands, where it's like single shot guns. I don't know how that's gonna play with the younger crowd. Maybe with them, since they haven't experienced all the other games before, it will feel like something different for them and they'll enjoy it. But as someone who's been following the series and other types of shooters in the same first-person genre, going backwards doesn't seem that exciting to me.
It's true. I think I remember. Do you guys remember this game? I think I played it on the GameCube, Medal of Honor.
Yes.
Wasn't it like one of the first-person shooters that had to deal with like war? World War II.
I think it came out with the original Xbox.
Medal of Honor has been it's like a cross system game.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I remember that when they took that time period and introduced it to the world. That was like early 2000s, and I think before that we only had like Counter-Strike and like GoldenEye and I believe what's that one? Team Fortress
before? You mean the creators of Team Fortress?
Valve?
Yeah, yeah, no. Oh god, what's Half-Life? Half-Life.
Was Half-Life before Team Fortress?
No, I'm saying that those are the type of games before. Or that Call of Duty type, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I meant, like, as for first-person shooters, I don't know if... Is Half-Life a first-person shooter, like, multiplayer game?
No.
It's mostly a single-player story-driven game.
Okay. How about you, John? What's your thoughts about this trailer? Like, did you... I know you don't play first-person shooters as much anymore, and I don't even know when's the last time you played, like, a Call of Duty game. Do you recall?
I have no idea when's the last time I played a Call of Duty or these type of shooters, but the trailer looks kind of interesting to me only because it looks very cinematic more than the other. I mean, graphic wise yeah, it looks very beautiful, but I'm wondering what's the story kind of. I heard there it's going to just take place in Europe mostly. It's not, they're not like location skipping, they won't go to Japan and stuff like that. It's literally just set in Europe, so I'm wondering how that is. I'm assuming it's going to be like Saving Private Ryan ish you're with the team of people and each character is unique. I don't know, in past games they've done that before, where in this era. So I know in like the newer modern warfare and all that, you do have like a certain team, and I think you follow like a certain characters too in modern warfare.
In some of the other Call of Duties, you switch between different main characters. So you take over somebody's story, and then you'll just trade off into somebody else, and they'll follow their story. But it's like
isn't there like a main character that's throughout all the story? Like they weave through characters. Like a certain one character will be in Modern Warfare then Advanced Warfare, like it's in the same universe, but
yeah, there's some callbacks to like old characters, like you'll see him as a dog tag or something like that.
I'm wondering if they're gonna do it here, like they'll, you know, one of the characters is actually a descendant from another character,
and, the great grandfather of like Soap McTavish or something.
Yeah the Soap, that's the guy that I'm thinking about. Yeah, I'm wondering, it will be kind of weird to sense like Wolfenstein that came out like a couple years ago, right? The remake or the newer version, and then that takes place in World War II, and it will be interesting to see this one, like they're going back to like the real World War II. You say World War II or is it WW? Oh no, never mind. I don't know.
It's the same thing.
I know they want to write it like that, like WW with the Roman numbers instead of actually saying World War, or write it down like World War II with the number. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean that's mostly why it's stylized throughout like history. WW2. Yeah,
I'm wondering.
But I'm pretty sure that means zombies. World War II.
Wait, what was that? It?
I'm pretty sure that means World War II.
Yeah, yes, I know. Yeah, okay. It is going to be.
But what did you say? That you said something before that.
Oh, so I noticed like in the newer games they do the zombie mode. So I'm wondering if they're going to do that with this. But it'll be kind of odd to do it because this is more grounded, you can say, from the other games. It doesn't look like anything from the previous days or previous games where, you know, future tech at all. So I'm wondering if they're going to take that, you know, that little zombie mode and put it here or change it up. I don't know, alien mode or something.
Either way, whether it's zombies or aliens, it's going to be a bit like jarring to see, because
looks like a super serious game too.
Yeah, I mean most of Battlefield games are like serious. I don't think they tend to be like,
but
how
it's also cheesy in the same way because
like, well no Battlefield games.
Oh, Battlefield. So.
Yeah
but like, no, the, like Call of Duty, the original zombie mode did come from one of the old World War II Call of Duties, I think. Started in the World at War, which was World War II one. So yeah, they're probably gonna do a little something funky with this. Yeah.
And because Nazis are in today, so that would be kind of interesting.
It's relevant, I guess. The last game I played from the Call of Duty series is like Black Ops 2, which is like 2012. And it's ever since then, I haven't even played like FPS. But I do find them like incredibly entertaining and thralling. But for the most part, I don't really play them because of the online experience. Like, I think I was a little bit shut down about like how people act online nowadays, it does feel not intimidating, but it does, you have this sense of like, oh, I don't really want to hang out with too many of the jerks. I know people always recommend to turn off your mic or turn off like the headsets, but at the same time, I like the best times I've ever had in a video game, like especially multiplayer, were like the early days of like Halo, Battlefield, and Call of Duty, where I felt like people were trying to actually help you and accomplish whatever your mission was in the multiplayer game. I don't know if you guys felt that way too, but yeah, bringing it back to like World War II, it's going to be interesting. I think with from the trailer, I was satisfied because of the, like John said, how like beautiful and cinematic it was. Like, I'm really satisfied about the scale they're going to take and how fantastic looking it all is, because like I imagine that they're taking World War II, which is like the greatest and most like brutal, I guess, war ever, and then turning into a video game, even though like we've done that before, but this time the technology has caught up where we could make things realistic to the point where it does seem like a scene from like Band of Brothers or Saving Private Ryan. Like, I wonder how, if I don't know if soldiers from World War II ever do, if they do play video games, if they do play this game, does it going to like be reminiscing or traumatizing to watch?
You mean they give them the PST or BSD or what is it called?
PTSD, yeah.
Wait, what?
Post-traumatic stress
okay.
disorder. Yeah, like that. Like, I wonder if it's going to bring them back to that, or if, you know, like, I don't know how much people have worked on this game that are like historians or whatever, but it'll be interesting to see like people who've actually experienced that war to watch something that's a little bit more, it looks more realistic than like 15 years ago when like Medal of Honor
looks more like polygon-ish. Like,
yeah, polygon-ish. Yeah, this time it looks, you know, rendered really well, and you know, the what do you call it, the frames are better and whatnot, so it'll be interesting. So that's Call of Duty WW2. It comes out November 3rd of this year, and I believe it's on all consoles except for one. Can you guys guess which console it's not on
the
yet?
The Wii U, of course, Ben, because that will be obsolete by then.
I think Nintendo has another console that's out.
the CDS, of course. Yeah, it won't be on there.
Go a little bit more. 2DS? More current.
Current? yeah. Oh, the Nintendo Classic? NES?
Oh, the transitional?
The one, I don't know. Never mind.
Okay.
The game I'm thinking about is the new classic Super NES that's going to be announced this year later.
So
probably.
Oh, never mind. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it won't. Never.
Yeah, I'm actually wondering, like Sierra mentioned, or even John, you mentioned this, like if they are going to follow that lore that Call of Duty has created in their like games among like the people you are playing, like the characters you are playing. So
Call of Duty might be an EA game, right? Or is that Battlefield? For it? I get confused.
That's Battlefield.
So this one is
Call of Duty. Is Activision
Acclaim? Not Acclaim.
Activision.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Never mind.
Acclaim hasn't made a game. What? Turok? I don't know.
I don't know. Too. When's the last time that? I don't think they're real anymore. So
yeah. Moving on from that. Sierra, I know if you've watched something. What have you been doing and watching lately?
Well, in my downtime, if I can, I try to pick up some new shows just to see how they do. And this week, I'll be talking about the TV show Powerless.
I can't believe I'm working for Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne's cousin.
I told him about you.
You talked to Bruce Wayne about me?
No, I texted him.
What? Look at his reply.
Stop using my HBO Go password.
What a joker.
I sent you a toy Wonder Woman jet. I need you to put that together fast.
Isn't her jet invisible?
Yes, don't lose any pieces.
No, I just finished putting it together.
This glass is made of kryptonite.
And how does it work when the people inside need help from Superman?
I had not taken that scenario into account.
So yeah, judging from what you can hear, Powerless has to deal with the people in the DC universe who doesn't have any superpowers. But it mostly focuses on a company that does, I would say, inventions for the general public to help them be protected from superhero and supervillain battles. Say, like, Superman and Lex Luthor are fighting and buildings start falling down. They make suits or umbrellas, like super strong umbrellas, to help you to shield shield you from the falling rubble, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just...
It sounds... Okay, go on.
I was just going to say, it's a really stupid kind of show.
Okay.
So just the show in general, it has to me a really Disney Channel like feel to it, and it's not just because like Vanessa Hutchins is like in it, but just the way people react, their emotions, the way they portray the characters, it seems very fake, like very sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't take anything seriously, but it is a comedy show, of course, so you don't want to play too much into the serious part, but it just can't be. Comedies can also be kind of real, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so there's absolutely nothing real about this universe to me, because even it's like other superhero universe, especially like the Batman films and stuff, they make it feel like it's a grounded real environment. This one, like, totally fake. Even from the set decoration backgrounds, everything's super vibrant, super colorful, and yeah, it's really hard to get too deep into it. I'm just continuing watching because I like certain characters, and the comedy sometimes does shine depending on who's on screen.
From what I watch from the trailer, there's like three people I really love in the trailer. It's Danny Pudi.
Yep.
Pudi, is that how you say
Danny Pudi.
And then Ron Funches.
Yep.
And then Alan Tudyk.
You named the three best characters of the show.
Okay.
Oh, really? But it seems like Vanessa Hutchins is the main character though, right?
Yes, she is the main focus of the whole storyline. But okay. Her character it's not as well, she's not a comedic actor like the other three people,
yeah,
which are my favorite characters. So she's just there to move along the story, basically.
Okay.
But the real show stealer for me is Alan Tudyk though. I don't know if it's because he has more experience than any of the other people just in acting in general, but his comedy timing is really on point, and the jokes they give him, it's just really funny. He plays Bruce Wayne's less successful cousin. And he runs the company that builds all these general public protection stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from Wayne Enterprises, so he's always like chasing Bruce's success.
Does he know that he's Batman?
No, nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Oh, okay.
But like,
is he an? I was going to ask: is he an actual character in the comic book?
I don't think so. I haven't read anything about it. His name is Van Wayne. I hear that there is a Van Wayne, but he's not the same as this guy. Like, I'm pretty sure he's not like a comedic doofus in the comics. But yeah, I feel like it's worth checking out. But don't give your hopes up. Don't put your expectations too high. Just go in knowing that it's like a Disney show that's rated like TV-14 because they make like a lot of sex jokes and stuff. But the feel of it is just so fake and bubblegum.
Bubblegum.
There's no way else to describe it. But it does have its moments, and they do mention like the other famous superheroes like Green Lantern, Superman, Batman, but you'll probably never see them, not even like a hint. Maybe like a bat signal or batarang or Superman symbol, that's about it. But on the show they do have these other, I don't know if they're real DC universe superheroes, but they're just like really low end superheroes on the show that shows up and, you know, saves people from fires and stuff. And for a low budget TV I don't know how low budget, but it looks like a low budget. Every time the superheroes do show up, it doesn't look great. But it's just all in fun, and it can have a little fun.
With those characters that Ron and Danny play, when they are on screen, is it enough for you to continue? I mean, you probably watch all episodes, right, already by this time?
Yeah, like I said, they are like my favorite, two of my favorite characters. And yeah, every time they always are interacting with each other. They're like the Abed and Troy from Community.
Okay.
So they are like the best friends in the company, and yeah, they do have a lot of scenes together. So just from their interaction, it is really fun with both of them.
Is there a laugh track?
No laugh track.
Okay. So it's just a straight sitcom. It's 30 minutes though, right? Or
yes, 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, from the trailer and who I saw was billed in the cast, I was really interested about like watching it and whatnot. And then when I heard like the, you know, it didn't get that much of a, I guess, positive reviews, and I was like, I need to manage my time really well, so I don't know if I'm going to watch this. But I do love those actors, like Alan Tudyk and Ron and Danny. So I'm you know, I probably watched them like here and there. I watched the show, like it would be on in the background, but I don't know if I'm gonna be like invested. I know it has been canceled, right?
Oh, it has? I have no idea.
Oh, I'm not sure yet.
To be canceled, but there's a lower viewership for this show, lower viewership.
Oh yeah, it's not a show that I'm gonna miss if it is. Like I watched it, I've seen what it has to offer, and I just think it's okay. You can watch it for if you want to delve into more of the superhero lore or universe, but there's not much to hear besides a few laughs.
From what I'm reading in front of me, just this past week, it's actually been pulled from NBC and is no longer going. There's no indication of it being scheduled on NBC anymore.
Oh no! But what will happen with Ron Funches? I need to know how his storyline finishes.
I know. Hopefully they could find another show for them. I don't even mind if like this is going to be, I guess, online. Like I bet you they'll find a good, because you know, like the way they tend to. I guess, what do you call that rating system? Not rating, but there's a system that television gets when it comes.
The Nielsen ratings?
Yeah, like that's so obsolete. I think many people watch stuff on Netflix and YouTube and online that it's impossible that people are actually going to stay up whatever this time was. I'm assuming it's like Thursday nights or something, right? To watch this and like sit down and watch a show for 30 minutes. people want to like control their time to watch stuff now. Like they don't have time to like actually sit down and watch it.
Oh yeah, no, this is definitely a DVR show for me, and I just fast forward through all the commercials and stuff.
Yeah. So hopefully they find some sort of a new, I guess, outlet to get this show somewhere. Hopefully John has another, I think you've also watched something, John, and hopefully it's a little bit more positive.
Is it?
I want it to be more positive, but I want it to be equally funny as Ron Funches. Is what you watch as equally funny as Ron Funches, especially when he laughs?
It depends, I guess, of what your type of humor is. If you're trying to find humor in this show, I mean, it is kind of funny, I guess, yeah.
So what have you been watching?
Well, I've been watching a great new HBO show, not the one we're going to be talking about in the main discussion, but I'm talking about the new season for The Leftovers.
I'm not Jesus.
I'm not saying you are, but the beard looks good on you. So when you near
me, darling, can't you hear me? It's so easy. Death is easy. People just want finality. The love you gave me, an end to their grief. But with departures, there is no end.
Gone, I think I'm going crazy. How are you not going crazy? When you're gone,
and yeah, that was a clip from The Leftovers, Ben. I hope you put that well. So this is actually season 3, episode 1. I'll be talking about it. I think, Ben, you watched the same episode as me.
I did.
Did you watch the second episode?
No, I did not.
I watched the second episode. I can't talk about that second episode. So,
like, for the listeners, before we start talking about The Leftovers, because it's on the season 3, I'm pretty sure you're not going to talk about spoilers.
No.
So I think it's okay for the listeners to continue listening.
So we discussed this show in the past before in our old podcast and stuff like that. But if you're new, it basically tells a story about 2% of the population of the world, of Earth, whatever, disappears. People believe it's a rapture. If you don't know what the rapture is, basically it's like is it a Catholic or Christian thing? I forgot.
It's a Christianity. Yeah,
so basically they believe they departed basically to heaven. They're like the best people in the world, or
it's a day of judgment.
Of judgment. And then it's 2% of the population. So it tells a story of the people who are left over, basically, and what their struggle of life. And I find it very fascinating. If it's the creator from Damon Lindelof, the guy who made Lost, and the co-creator is Tom Perrotta. Am I saying his name right? I think I am. He created the book of The Leftovers based on this, but season 3 takes place beyond the book. Season 2 too. So it's telling the story beyond the book. If you're a fan of that, this basically tells a story of like, what if this is what happens to them? The first episode for this season is very good. I've been waiting for like almost a year, hasn't it? I think it's been a year since season 2. And yeah, it's still the same leftovers, but I think earlier we did like a trailer talk for this for season three, and Ben said it has like an anthology feel to it. Like they start fresh, and the same thing, this episode started fresh, like new setting kind of a little bit. It kind of time jump a little bit to different dates. It doesn't take place like the day after of what happens in the season finale of season two. It's a couple of years later, and you get to see the main characters or the protagonists throughout the series living their life and see what happened after the events of season two. And it's kind of cool. Like there's a storyline, it seems like, that's very biblical in the sense, I could say, that follows a certain character in the Bible. And we don't know if that's if the outcome will be the exact same, but it caught me off guard kind of, because I never knew that's what they were building up to. And when they actually like talk about it and flesh out the story more, or not even flesh, like set up the story for the season, I'm actually excited to see what's happening in future episodes. All the characters are still great. I love how Christopher Eccleston is still the same guy that you know from preseason. He plays Matt. He's like the priest of the show. But if you don't know Christopher Eccleston, he was like a Doctor Who person. He's British, but he has an American accent, and he's playing it really well versus like season one when he's trying to play the American accent. He's doing a great job. And the lead actor, he's a lead actor, Justin Theroux. I think I'm saying his last.
Theroux, I think.
Theroux? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's great. And his story is the most fascinating story. Everything. Like, I just really want to see what happens to him and his family and everything. I'm just really excited for the season. Like, I feel like HBO has all my favorite shows right now, and this is just a continuation of that.
I agree with you. I'm invested in these characters, and I'm invested in the story that they're trying to create. And like you said, I love actually the biblical side of everything, and how it is a tug and pull of like, or push and pull of like, whether or not was this, you know, an act of God or just a coincidence or something supernatural,
or
science. Yeah.
I might throw that out if you watch episode two.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool that they don't have a definite answer. And I think they're going to go through with all that until the end, where they don't want to give definite answers, and they want, you know, the audience to think about and reflect about their one, you know, their own selves and all that, without, you know, being too deep, I guess you could say. I'm always recommending this show to everyone. Like at my current job, I recommend it to like three coworkers, and all three of them are watching it, and they all started from like season one this past couple of weeks, and they are caught up, and they're actually, you know, they surpassed me now. So that's kind of cool. And then it's like, also, they're not even religious. Like, one of them is an atheist, and they love this show because of the mystery and yep. how much it is involved with like everyone else's beliefs and whatnot. Seer, were you ever a fan of like Lost, and would you ever be like interested in watching this show?
Well, I was a fan of Lost, but you know how that went off the rails near the end. Just seeing from the same creators, I could see that this show should have like a lot of good twists and turns, and keeps the audience guessing. Mm-hmm. But the premise alone, like, there's been like other shows and movies.
Yeah, that's the 100.
And remember, Kirk Cameron made a movie?
Yes.
What's it called? Left Behind? Basically the same thing called Leftovers.
Yes.
I don't know what the 100 was.
I think it's like 100 people were gone.
No. The 100 is 100 people left Earth at different time. Or no, 100 people. Or is that the other one? The 101. Now I'm confused.
I'm confusing everyone now.
There are shows where actual like 100 extra people show up on Earth, and they're all from different time periods. I forgot which one is that one.
I think it is the 100. I think I'm mistaken.
No, it has to be like 101. It's like a weird number. Like, it's an odd number. Yeah.
Yeah, like the first 48, one of those shows.
Wait, what's the
first
48?
Oh, no, that's a crime murder show. Oh,
okay. What's the HBO one? 30 on 30, or never mind.
That's the ESPN's documentary
34 show. 34-30, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, numbers and words. But
yeah,
just from premise alone, yeah, this show always interests me. I just haven't had time to get some eyes on it. But yeah, I've always put in my backlog. Hopefully I'll get to check it out when I can. Yeah, if I was wondering how much of the religious aspect comes off of the show.
It's throughout.
It questions you a lot. Like, is this show really religious or is it something else? It's similar to Lost in that way, where there are sometimes it feels way coincident or too much coincidence, like all these characters meet at this one time. So is that in that sense, is it fate? Is it fate that they, you know, bring them together, or is it something else? Like, it just questions you the whole time of like, even the show, even though they take this whole rapture thing, but that's it. Like the people who got raptured or departed, they say in the show, some of them were bad people, some of them were good people. So you have to question, the leftover people are always questioning, like, why this person got departed and not me? I'm like the best person, you know, in the world. That's why I like Christopher Eccleston character. I'm probably saying his last name wrong.
You said it right, Eccleston.
Yes, because he plays a priest that's very devoted to God, but he wasn't raptured. He wasn't departed. Something happens to his wife and he still is like struggling with that. So I'm like, oh, it's an interesting story for him. Well, like, out everyone, I think his story is the most interesting, next to Kevin, the main character.
Justin Theroux. Yes.
Ben, how do you feel about the new theme song of this show?
HBO has always done this thing where their themes are slightly different from like their, like, it's even like when it comes to like Game of Thrones and Silicon Valley, mm-hmm. although they have the same theme songs throughout their series, they always change the visuals, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And then like The Wire and I believe Treme, they always change their theme songs every season, and like including this one, they always change their
theme. Do you recognize this theme song?
No, I don't.
Wait, so you don't recognize this theme song at all? That's odd.
No. Don't tell me. Okay. I will let the listeners figure it out.
Okay. Because when I heard that theme song, I was like, oh my, it's like a childhood flashback for me when I first heard it. And I was kind of surprised that another show can take this theme song.
Oh, I have to remember.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's The Leftovers, which premiered this past couple weeks. You can find it on HBO and any, you know, HBO app or whatever. I think it's on Sundays too. Moving on, I actually watched something. It's nothing. It could be funny, and then it could have dramatic moments. And it's a indie film which stars Anne Hathaway. The film I watch is Colossal.
The unprecedented nature of this.
Look at that tangle. You know you're watching something that's going to change the course of history.
You all right?
Yeah, it's this nervous tic I have. I get this itch.
Oh my God.
Thing appeared. Same place.
Exact same time.
But it just made a bunch of weird hand gestures.
You got something.
So that's a clip from the trailer of Colossal. For those who don't know, it's directed and written by Nacho Vigalondo, who is well known for his time traveling film Time Crimes.
Spoiler.
It's a Spanish film.
I think you just gave that away, that movie, by just saying that that spoiler.
That's a time traveling film?
Yeah, because it starts
Probably. Yes. I'll probably beep it out now.
Yeah. It's called Time Crimes. What else do you expect?
It's probably a guy who kills people in a certain time, but now Ben tells you it's time travel.
Oh, like in Batman, what's his name? The calendar man?
Clockman, or what's his name?
No, his name is not...
Yes, it is. It's like Clockman something.
It's Calendar Man. Calendar Man's a villain in Batman.
Yeah.
No, there's a guy who has time, too, in animated. Clockman?
I don't know about that.
Dr. Clockman? Mr. Clockman?
No, it's not. I don't think it's Dr. Clockman.
It's something with clock.
We could research it later. Okay. Anyway, this film stars Anne Hathaway, Jason Sudeikis, and Dan Stevens. Dan Stevens is well known for two things in my mind. He's the Beast in the new Beauty and the Beast film.
Thought you were going to say X-Men. I was like, this is not X-Men.
No, no. And then he plays the guest in the film The Guest.
Yes, that's a good movie.
It's a good thriller. One. It's on Netflix right now for those who want to. Anyway, so the film is about Gloria, who is portrayed by Anne Hathaway, and And she's like this disorderly woman who's dealing with like certain circumstances in her life. But suddenly she's forced to leave her life in New York City and move back to her home in Middle America. They never specify where in Middle America, but it's like a suburban area with a bunch of like suburban houses. Where there, she's reconnected with her childhood friend Oscar, which is played by Jason Sudeikis, who's well known for SNL run. He was in Saturday Night Live, and I think, is he one of those like, what's that popular with Charlie from
Jamie Foxx,
yeah, the Horrible Bosses. Yes, he was one of the actors in Horrible Bosses. Anyway, they rekindle and they start this relationship, but simultaneously there's this creature. What do you call those creatures in Pacific Rim?
Kaijus,
yeah, that materialize and destroy Seoul, Korea, and apparently Anne Hathaway's character is somehow bound to this creature. So that's like the basic premise. I don't want to ruin the film for you guys in case you're trying to watch it. With the clip, if you listen to the clip, it's like it's partly like a rom-com, part action film, apparently, and part dramedy. So it has all these genres together, and I do find the film very profound in many ways. It does tackle like in a non-subtle way about like we have monsters and demons inside of us. So, and those monsters manifest into something else probably. I don't want to spoil anything, but the trailer, it does not reveal like the whole plot, and in subtext, it doesn't even reveal the subtext in the trailer too, which is really great, because I feel like going in cold, it will give you a lot of surprises and a lot of like WTF moments. From what I know, and I think from what I read, the film is like very, very divisive. Like so many people you're either going to like scrutinize it or love it or hate it. But I think it's a really good, I guess, conversation starter for its subject matter, which I can't really say too because it's a spoiler. And it might even have multiple subject matters. One of them is probably addiction, and one of them is about like facing your monsters and demons. And I want to say the other one is about like as humans we have like this tendency to like renew ourselves by escaping our old selves, whether it's like literally or figuratively. So like her, she, you know, leaves New York City to a small town where she grew up. With that said though, overall it's a little absurd and surreal. Like I said, it has this rom-com action science fiction sort of like looking through that scope, so that's why I kind of admire it because of that. And I think the director Nacho Vigalondo, he's a very ambitious director. I don't know if you ever watched this one film that came out a couple years ago that stars Elijah Wood and Sasha Grey called Open Window. It's not a good film, but the whole film takes place in a desktop.
What? Wait.
Yeah.
What do you? I don't understand. Like a computer desktop?
Yeah. Yeah. So, because.
Oops. Sorry.
So they found a treasure, and that's why the Link's theme song when he opens a treasure chest opens. Do you want to take that call, John?
No. It's a text message. You can leave this in. But in the film, I'm interested in this other film called Desktop. Or what is it called?
Open Window.
Open Window,
which is on Netflix. So, don't watch it. I feel like you can watch parts of it.
I'm probably never going to watch it.
Yeah.
You say desktop. So is it just like a Skype call or something like that?
No, like, it's like multiple things. It's called Open Windows because he has multiple windows open.
So there's like browsers. Tabs and stuff too.
Yes.
Wait,
yes.
So
yes.
How are you? Seeing the characters though,
because from the camera, from the the camera of the PC, and then people are using FaceTime.
Okay,
and
so it's like that Friend like this movie or that horror movie.
Yeah,
with the Friends.
Okay. Unfriended.
Yeah, yeah.
You could watch it on your desktop and feel like you're part
yeah,
of the movie.
Yeah, it's so weird. I did watch it on my desktop, and it's so weird.
Wait, so the whole like, movie, there's no edit or cuts of off the desktop? So
yeah, it is like towards the end, it has to be off somehow. Like,
okay,
they can't. So I don't want to go into that movie. If you want to watch it, it's on Netflix right now. But I mean, really quick, like the way they get out of the desktop is like one of the characters is a hacker. So he hacks into your phones and security cameras. And that's how they get multiple camera views, is from security cameras, which is crazy, which is like really, really out there. But he's always made like the director has always made these very ambitious films, which I think doesn't translate really well in American films, because his Spanish films, he's from Spain, his Spanish films are really great, and when he translated this material to like English, it's not that well, except for this one. I think this one's his first home run as a Spanish director doing an American film. But yeah, I'd rather watch this film than like Transformers, which is like just a repetitive, you know, film about robots and giant robots. While this one is equally like has giant monsters and like Pacific Rim, but has something more deeper, I guess you could say. But like I said, you might love or hate it. So I recommend it. It's out on movie theaters right now. It's a limited release, I believe. I mean, I'm pretty sure in 5 months you're going to find this on Netflix. So if I were you, I would wait if you don't want to spend that, if, you know, that
cost. How was it? If you can rank, because I believe there's like three movies that came out this year with huge monsters. How would you rank this? Is it better than King Kong or worse than Power Rangers, or what is it?
Because it has an independent budget, so they didn't really concentrate on the monster themselves. Mm-hmm. So I'd say it's up there. I think I would watch this above Power Rangers, and probably above King Kong. Like it has these actual like they're very topical questions, and I can't really tell you guys what they are because I don't want to spoil it. But once by the end of the film, I'm pretty sure you're gonna have a discussion with people who've watched this film and like, oh, that's what happened. Oh, that's the meaning of that. You're gonna really analyze the film, like bite off everything and analyze it and whatnot. But yeah, that's Colossal, out in theaters. Anyway, moving on, going to our main discussion. This week's main discussion is a HBO series. It's on its fourth season. We're gonna discuss the premiere of it. This week's main discussion is Silicon Valley.
You all thought I was crazy.
Turns out I'm not. Not crazy. Opposite, you poor idiots.
Yep, not crazy. Opposite. It worked. I mean, the VR is rad now.
Rad? Guilfoyle, rad? You are wearing the same exact pajamas as Dinesh, and you're saying rad now? I don't know. I think we look rad.
That is a clip from the trailer from Silicon Valley. It is created by Mike Judge, who is well known. His well-known things are Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill, his films Office Space, Idiocracy. It's also co-created by John Altschuler. I don't know how you pronounce his name. I'm sorry, John. And Dave Krinsky.
It's all right, Ben.
The television show stars Thomas Middleditch as Richard, TJ Miller, John Brenner, Martin Starr, Camille Nanjiani, and I think that's it, right?
Amanda yeah. Crew, I guess.
Oh, yeah, Amanda Crew. I mean, there's a lot of people. Yeah, Zach Woods, actually.
I think those are like the other two main people in my book.
Yeah. So we all, I think before we start this, there will be a lot of spoilers of the show because I feel like because it's the fourth season and we're going to kind of talk in depth about like the overall show and how we like it. Hopefully, if you haven't watched this, you could probably turn it off. But if you don't mind getting spoiled, I don't think there's like a huge spoilers in this television show. Please continue to go on. Anyway, from IMDb, this is the plot synopsis. Following the struggle of Richard Hendricks, a Silicon Valley engineer trying to build his own company called Pied Piper. Seer, I was told that you weren't caught up with this show, but most recently you caught up now. What's your thoughts about Silicon Valley overall and the season premiere?
Yeah, I basically binge watched all of season three yesterday just so I can get caught up to this recent discussion. I follow Silicon Valley ever since it premiered in season one, and I love the show. Like I said, I think we actually reviewed season one. This finale, because I remember talking about the greatest dick joke ever written for television.
Yes
And just that alone like made this series a must watch for me, and I always wanted to keep following it, but then you know things just come and go and it fell on the wayside for me. But I'm really disappointed myself that I let a show this good fall off of my plate or whatever, because just rewatching it all last night, I really love this show. just from like the conversation and discussions that the characters have with each other, it seems like they're real people. And their technical jargon, I hear that it's actually quite accurate. Though, well, at least the writers, they try to make it as real world as they can, even with all the tech specs and everything that you see on screen.
Mm-hmm. From what I read, they hired 200 people in Silicon Valley to consult for the show so they could have the accuracy they needed, so people don't feel like this is inaccurate. This is why, like, you mentioned the technical jargon. I was like, oh wow, that's impressive. Like, they went out their way to do it.
Yeah, I see that. Even if you see a screenshot of somebody's laptop, they say that everything they see on screen is exactly how it should be. And even if it's not, the people feel like they're just trolling the audience. Like, they have like a Mac running on a Sony laptop running a Linux based platform or whatever. So yeah, I just love all the detail that's put into this show. Like, it makes everybody feel real. Like, the reason why I couldn't get into Powerless, the other show, was, yeah, nothing felt real to me. This one, everything's grounded. The fact that they put so much detail in everything builds the world so much better. And just the comedic values that come from the characters in the show, that's what, of course, from a comic show, that's where you keep coming back to. And the wild characters like TJ Miller, the way he's so much different from the rest of the other guys, he's just so outlandish, it makes it really stand out. And most of the thing he says is, yeah, it's for like shock value or outrageousness. That's where his comedic timing comes from. And yeah, just every character has their own thing to where they provide more for the whole show, and that's what I love about it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think what the strong suit about the entire show is their characters and the people they play them, like the people, the actors or comedians that play the characters. I'm pretty sure you guys are fans of like shows like Comedy Bang Bang or the other, like Doug's Love Movies or any other, what's Camille's thing? The Indoor Kids,
yeah.
Yeah, like I and then Martin Starr is well known for Freaks and Geeks and whatnot. So like all their comedic sensibilities are really, I guess you could say, fine in tune in here. And I think all those years of doing all that stuff made their characters more realistic. John, your thoughts about the show overall, and what's your thoughts about like the season premiere too?
Yeah, like I said when I was talking about Leftovers, HBO has all my favorite shows right now, and this is one of them. It's one of my favorite comedies. I think I dropped the ball because I didn't notice it came out recently. They don't do a great job advertising this show like anywhere else. I don't have cable, so it was hard for me to find any ads of this show until I think I heard it on a podcast, like Comedy Bang Bang, that they were promoting it. I was like, oh, okay, back on. Yeah, it's my favorite comedy, like I said. Like all the characters, all the people, like Sierra said, this season, it's very interesting just seeing their struggle throughout the last three seasons and how far they got, and how in a weird way they're like kind of restarting themselves all over again. And I just want to see that journey again. I'm wondering how this is all going to end. It doesn't seem like there's an actual end to this show. It seems like you can just keep continuing on, like similar to like The Walking Dead, similar scenarios but a little bit different. But I'll watch it because I just love all the characters and how they all interact with each other, especially like the relationship between Martin Starr and Kumail Nanjiani's characters. That relationship is great. And Big Head, or what's his name, Josh Brender as Big Head, yeah, he's funny throughout the season, even though he doesn't play like a huge role in throughout the last three seasons. But he is that like hidden character that helps him out and everything. And like Sierra said, TJ Miller is great on him. Just he's acting like TJ Miller, like you see in his comedies and stuff like that, very just sporadic and just outrageous, but at the same time he has a caring side. And yeah, and Richard, played by Thomas Middleditch, just to see his growth throughout the years and see him, how he seems like you want him to be that next Bill Gates or Steve Jobs, but he's almost there. I feel like this season he might be that person, and I just want to see that. Yeah, and the other side characters, like I forgot the guy's name, the one who plays the CEO of Googly or Hooli, is it Hooli?
Gavin Belson.
Yes, Hooli. Hooli. Yeah, he's great. Just to see him as that antagonist throughout the whole season, and adding what's his name, I forget the actor name.
Steven Tobolowsky?
Yeah, Steven Tobolowsky as the other antagonist on the show is great.
Jack Brenner.
Yeah,
Barker.
Jack Barker. Yeah, yeah, just Barker. I want to see that, how they combine their powers or lack of power, I guess you could say, in this season. I can't wait for the rest of the next. Is it 9 or 10 episodes?
I always forget. 9 episodes.
It's a good show that if you're very tech savvy, you'll enjoy. But if you're not and just love comedies about tech, it's good.
I think even if you don't understand the technology jargon, mm-hmm. It's still a good show. I think their interactions is worthy enough mm-hmm. for a watch.
It's similar like to The Office Space or like King of the Hill. Like, you don't really care about propane or what they do in the office. It's all the characters around them is what makes the show good. So
I'm on the same boat as you guys, or the same team, I don't know, engineering team as you guys,
or TJ Miller think tank
incubator.
No, incubator. Yes,
the incubator. I'm in the same incubator as you guys. I really love this show. Like Sierra and yourself, John, like I've watched it since season one, and when we did that review, I was like, this is like a special show, but I don't feel like so many people were watching it at the time too. Which is weird, because I think that's what Mike Judge is well known for. Like, Office Space wasn't popular until after its theater run, and even Idiocracy wasn't popular until recently because of, like, you know, what, you know, who we elected
as president. Imitating life.
Yeah, so that's kind of weird. But yeah, I do find the show delightful, quirky. Many times it's self-deprecating, which I like. It builds this weird premise around these individuals who want to succeed, and then they are actually capable to succeed, but there's this weird like animosity or resentment towards like either them, each other, or themselves, and there's like hopelessness throughout, which I really appreciate, because it does feel like you could feel like they're struggling, and sometimes you want to like just want them to achieve so much, but I think they're best when they are being down and out, I ever since the beginning, season one, it seems like it's loosely based on like the concept of like Revenge of the Nerds to me, like how there's these, you know, smart sometimes socially awkward people, and then they're trying to take down like the bullies, I guess you could say, which are like the CEO of the corporations and whatnot,
but they also have smart people working with them.
Yes. Yeah, so that's why I'm saying like it kind of turns the head on that, like it's basically nerds against nerds. I like how these characters are vulnerable and sensible, and that the fact that, you know, they're just they're regular people, but they just are a little bit smarter than us. Mm-hmm. I like how the jokes are witty and insightful too. Like I said, like they've hired so many people to consult with for this show that it seems like it makes everything really accurate. I think that's it for that.
For just discussing like the new season, where do you want them to go with like the new storyline that they're developing?
Like John, I do hope for Richard to have a new company and succeed, but I also want, I really just want the crew, Piper crew, to get what they deserve. I feel like we've been through 3 seasons of them struggling. I want them to now achieve stuff, and then probably in the end they go back down again, because I find this like there's this throughout the show's period, like they are like a wave. They like succeed, then they fall back, and they succeed. Mm-hmm. So yep. Hopefully this time around they succeed in the end.
It seems like now that Dinesh is like the CEO of Pied Piper now, and Richard is breaking off into his own thing, it seems like their success and failure is going to be split between both teams. Like I see Dinesh becoming the more successful business right now, and now we're going to follow Richard more for the more struggling aspect of the show, because he's basically starting from the ground up again, but what he's trying to achieve, it could be world changing. Yep. And like when he was having the conversation with Russ Hanneman, the dickest asshole mm-hmm. millionaire, just Richard explaining his vision, I'm like, dude, that actually sounds possible. That's what I love about the show. Even like how ridiculous something could seem, they make things seem possible. Like when he was explaining, oh, I want all the phones in the world to be connected to become the new internet, where I'm like, wow, if you from a lame from a regular person, layman's person, I'm like, okay, yeah, that should be able to work, right? If somebody would be able to connect all the phones, they can make like a worldwide free internet. It's just little things like that, the vision that they try to instill into the audience that's watching, just bringing everybody in to the ground level with all these high-tech jargon nerds or whatever. That's what makes it so great. And yeah, just going forward with this season, I'm like, yeah, I hope he achieves this new internet and then see how the world reacts to what he's put out there.
Mm-hmm. That's how I feel too. When he was explaining that story about how, you know, how when we went up in the moon, we just had like a really bad, what was that? He used a certain device. A
calculator.
Like, yeah, calculator. And now we have the most powerful thing in our pockets. It made me why don't we do this? Like, why in real life is this even possible? But if it is, why don't we actually do this? Similar to what Camille is doing with his character. Like, that's a cool thing. Like, why don't we do that too? Like, all this possibilities in this show, it makes you really believe, like, the thing that I always like about the show, it makes you really believe in you, not just in the characters, but in yourself. Like, yeah, you can do anything, basically, if you just put your mind to it, like the way they're doing it. You can, like, be whatever you want. Hello?
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Sorry, I was moved by your emotional speech. Yeah.
And then someday we'll conquer Earth or whatever. Is that
we are already conquering Earth. You mean the moon.
The moon. Wait, what? Are we conquering the moon?
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Anyway.
And one little thing. I'm so glad they brought Russ Hanneman, the asshole millionaire, back. Because yep. I actually loved him from last season.
Same here.
All his lines is just so vulgarish. I'm like, yeah, I like that guy a lot.
That's a funny bit, because I like how they were talking in front of that elementary school. And then he turns around. He's like, oh no, this is the wrong school.
I was wondering what was going to be the punchline of that. I thought,
yeah, me too, that's the whole time, woman
or mom, like, oh, you'll go back in your car. But it's, oh, okay, he had the wrong school. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree with all you guys. The show is great. It's on HBO right now, Sundays, I believe. So for those who are waiting for like Game of Thrones, you guys could watch Silicon Valley. I do appreciate they have, all the time they end a series or the television show, they always have like an artist
who
do the theme songs. Mm-hmm. In the end, and this was like Nas and DJ Shadow, which was titled Systematic. And for those who don't know, DJ Shadow is from Davis, so he has like this Northern California artist in the show.
Is this still like Run the Jewels a lot too, right?
Yes, they do. Run the Jewels is like a prom, is all there all the time. But yeah, cool.
Did you guys like when they played Papa Roach on?
Yeah, that's kind of cool. When, what's his name? Left the school.
Yeah.
Elementary school.
Yeah. I thought that was part of the soundtrack, but that was in his car. I was like, okay, yeah, it's that type of person who would play that type of song.
It's part of his douchebag persona that they would listen to, that he would be listening to that.
Apparently that man is based on an actual person, but they won't say who. Like, it's a person in Silicon Valley. That's it for that, our main discussion. Hope you guys enjoy. Sierre, before we leave, where can they find you online?
Sure, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm not very active there because most of my followers are bots right now. But if my followers go up, I'll be sure to keep using it more. And that's at 5 ears. That's number 5EARS Twitter.
All the time you describe your Twitter handle, it's so weird.
It makes you remind me
like 5 ears? Is supposed to be like an S, all right?
Yeah.
And then I'm a good listener. How about that? Just add that to it.
Yeah. 5. It's like John's. John, can you explain what your Twitter handle?
Oh,
Twitter,
it's a by arts. Like, I like RTS. Is that the thing that we always talk about?
Yeah. Anyway, where else can they find you, John?
Just go at Twitter, by arts, RTS. I have to mention, I found out what that villain is in Batman. His name was Clock King. So, yeah, I looked him up. That was like a long time ago. Go, 30 minutes beyond or past to understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Thank you for that information. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. If you have any questions, comments, or recommendations, you can get us on the email on contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. Before we go, I don't think any of us is going to add to the 17 freaking awesome things in 2017, right?
No.
Yes. No one.
Clock King.
No, Clock King. No. Anyway, I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this is Sierra Say Chow, a.k.a. Sierra Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.
close the door. Close the door. Close the door. Close it all the way. Don't come back in here, okay? Don't come back in here, okay? Okay, close the door. Yeah, I'll come back. Get out. Close it.